Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about our connection to nature. What does that mean? Walking in the woods? Going to the beach? Having a hike up on a high mountain? And or swimming in the ocean? What is this all about, connecting to nature? It seems to be the fad thing these days. You see it on social media. People are posting their pictures. Oh, I saw this. Oh, I saw that. Have they connected with it? Have they observed it? Or have they danced with the energy of nature all around them? Really, how can we become one with nature as we are nature also? Really, that's the question, isn't it? So many times when people will say, I connected with nature. I went outside today and had my lunch. But you're on your cell phone. You still kind of sat at the picnic table. You looked at things and you said, oh, yeah, I did the deed. Now I'm good to go. What about the concept when you think of a favorite tree, a favorite flower, and you could almost close your eyes and you could see yourself under that tree? You could feel what it feels like to be under its shade, what it smells like, how the roots and the bark are underneath you, and how the leaves are flying overhead. Isn't that really a different type of connecting with nature? Well, today we have a great person who will help us share her stories about connecting. Jessica Baker is the author of Plant Songs, Reflections on Herbal Medicine. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Dr. Jeanette. I am happy to always to talk about plant medicine.
Oh, yes. You know, being a naturopathic physician myself, you know, I think we've kind of, we'll be singing our songs and preaching to the choir today, right?
Let's hope so.
Yes. You know, I think a lot of times when people say connecting with nature, they're connecting in what they believe at the moment. They really haven't been into that engagement process yet. But, you know, hey, everybody needs to start somewhere, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's why I love like herbalism so much, because it really is as simple as walking outside. And even if you don't live near a forest, at least you can even enjoy, you know, the planted trees along, right, you know, your street, or grow a simple like sage bush or lavender bush in your backyard. It doesn't take much to get that connection.
Right.
It's just, I think we make things a little bit more challenging for ourselves lately when it really can be very simple.
Absolutely. But I think also too is the idea of, can you engage in the energy of it? I know for myself, I could walk from my front door and maybe 10 feet and I would notice if a leaf fell off of a tree or if the lizard was crawling on the sidewalk or perhaps there was a spider web that I had just walked through. So I'm pretty much very connected in that sense. And others that would be with me, I would say, oh, did you hear that? And they're like, what? What did you see? What are you talking about? And it would be on the other end. Really, what we'll be talking about today is how plants, trees, flowers, moss, ferns, how these all fit into our life, and we bring them up to be able to have a connection when we might feel, as we would say, like to reflect on things like in our past, in our childhood, or maybe say, I remember this. And that will bring us some comfort. Don't you think sometimes, Jessica, that nature truly is, I almost think of it as, you know, when they say Mother Nature, I think of nature as really that comforting sense when something's going awry, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm like you when I walk, you know, even if I'm just taking a dog walk a few blocks away, I notice mm-hmm. when I'm like, oh, the tree's blooming now. And this wasn't blooming even yesterday when I walked by it. Today I noticed the tulips were coming up. So it's like, okay, spring is here. But the other people who are walking their dogs, you know, they don't stop to smell the neighbor's rose bush. I'm like, how can you not stop and smell this flower that wasn't open yesterday, you know? It's like little things that we probably take for granted now because they've become normalized. And in some way, you know, it's inherent, right? We were like, we all evolved with these plants to have this relationship. And we just have to like remember the relationship we had before. So I think it's innate. We just have to, we have to remember. I don't know if that answered your question, but that's what your thought took me to.
But also, too, I think that the idea is once we start remembering connecting, like, our childhood dreams, or we might have sat under a tree, or we might have, like, enjoyed flowers or roses at our wedding or whatever, as we use those as connections, we also, too, if we are having what I call chaos within our body, we could be having a disease, we could have a heart problem, heart flutters. We might think of rose because remember that rose connects to the heart. We might think of, I know chestnut. Chestnut trees have been in my childhood very young, and then I use a lot of chestnut herbs now, much later in my life, in my 60s, you know, for my legs, my vascular veins. And we think about it, legs is the body, is the roots. Chestnut, you know, we use the roots. And it's just been so, it's almost like a whirlwind kind of web that we create. How does nature fit in with our body? How do things that we might need to have for comfort, or as you shared in your book about loneliness and disconnection, how do these show up in our minds and in our thoughts just at the right time? And so it's almost like we call them to us. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, oh, my heart doesn't feel good and you see a rose outside. Or all of a sudden, oh, man, I'm really feeling weighed down and you look up and you see a bird flying. So I think there's such a web of engagement. How do we even tap into that? Really, that's what we're talking about today. How do we tap into that?
You know, being a Chinese medicine practitioner and an acupuncturist, I feel like although I had this connection with nature through my herbal background, and, you know, I became more aware of all of the plant life around me that, you know, is pretty much still within us, right, in like DNA and evolutionary speak. We are so inherently connected to these because we literally, you know, evolved with these plants and are continuing to co-evolve with the plant life around us. And all of nature. So I think, like, for me, it became easier to tap in once I did learn more about Chinese medicine, you know, because the basic theory of Chinese medicine is we are nature and nature is us. And what is happening mm-hmm. in the external world is happening within us as well, because we are connected to, you know, the cosmos of all of life. And so that really helped me have a deeper understanding to my connection to nature, because then it was like before, yes, I did celebrate, you know, spring equinox and solstices and all of that. But once I had this foundation in Chinese medicine and was doing Qigong and things like that, just being in that meditative state, whether that is you find meditation through literally sitting down and meditating or through yoga or Qigong, however that is, it really did help me remember how deep that connection was and how integral it is. And I feel like, I mean, we're all pretty energetic beings, and we do feel when, you know, if there's a storm raging outside, we kind of feel that upheaval within ourselves because we mm-hmm. are directly related to that.
You talk about it in your book, Plant Songs, about the pine tree, and you say grow tall. And I wrote on the page when I read your book, I wrote, a pine tree is always shedding the young. You know, there's always seeds coming off of a pine tree. There's always cones coming off of a pine tree. It's almost like it's always seeding it all the time. It's like that's what its job is, you know. And it's just so cool as it grows bigger, you know, it's like dropping them things all the time. And we even see pine needles now where it's used as mulch around trees to be able to protect. So we think about a pine tree as protection, seeding, and growing tall. Right there is a connection. Isn't that as simple as that? People say, well, I don't really kind of don't get it. And I just say to them, just look at it. What do you see? Right?
Absolutely. It's like, what do you see? And maybe you don't see what I see. And that doesn't mean what you're seeing is wrong. It just means that we are observing this from a different perspective and maybe from a different like message that we need at that time. Maybe you don't need the message of grow tall or, you know, shed or reproduce or whatever it is that you feel like the message is telling you. I mean, just because I wrote a book that said pine says grow tall doesn't mean that's what it said to me. But maybe it's going to say something different to you, you know. And that's why I love herbalism and connection to nature and all that. It's like, I mean, in herbalism, yes, there are things that are quote unquote wrong, especially if you're working with clients. But in general, with your own intuition on how you want to communicate with plants, there is no wrong.
And also, too, the idea of a plant is not just a plant. It has so many different parts. You know, when we think about a human, and, you know, we set out things. We say, I'm going to go to the heart doctor, and later I'm going to go to the eye doctor, and maybe tomorrow I'll go to my regular doctor. You know what I mean? You think about plants, you say they have oils, they have flower essences, they have herbs, they have roots, leaves, they have bark, they have flowers. And they have seeds or fruits. There's so many different parts to a tree also. And there's so many varying different purposes for those to the tree. Isn't that something that sometimes when you sit down and start to study it, you go, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. And how cool that each little piece has its own specific purpose and journey and all of this story around it, yes?
Absolutely. And that's why I'd love to just encourage people. They're like, I don't like to drink herbal tea. Well, it's like, okay, then take the flower essence. What is the medicine that's going to resonate with you? Or maybe it's just, you know, taking a piece of the flower and, you know, weaving it into a necklace or dropping it into a little bit of water and making your own flower essence with it. You know, whatever it is, there is a medicine for you in that plant, whether like you said, maybe I want to go and use the bark because I need it, you know, because I have some inflammation or something. But this person really just wants to go and sit by the tree and meditate. We're still getting medicine from the tree. We are just choosing to incorporate that differently in our lives because, you know, we all have different personalities and how we want to work with our own health.
And also, too, a lot of times we think of medicine as being something we have to take, give it to me in a capsule, a tincture, in a homeopathic remedy or essential oil or whatever it is. And we think of that as being a physical thing that we need to take in to change our physical structure. When just as you said, sometimes it's just the idea of the tree, something its essence. And like you said, go sit underneath the tree. And that might be enough to shift the energy of your source and be able to say, you know what, I really truly don't need that medicine. I just feel better and things have already shifted. When we think about energy, we as humans and also as nature, that might be as simple as that. And isn't it cool that energy medicine of nature or humans can coexist to make those shifts? Yes?
Absolutely. And I feel like that's, you know, kind of how we have ESP with the rest of nature. We can, like you mentioned earlier, you feel down and then you look up and you see a bird flying and it lifts your spirits, right? That is that inherent connection and that whatever you want to call it, where we can call in our own medicine. And they also call to us because they feel our energy change and they're like, oh no, Dr. Jeanette needs this today. So let me bring this to her attention. So it is this, it is a, I don't know my like psychic speak so well, but it's definitely that connection to the universe giving you what you need and you also like reaching out and accepting or asking for that what you need, right? And that's kind of that interplay between being a practitioner as well. We give and but we also only give what we're at what's asked of us, right? We don't give more because that's not appropriate. So I don't know how that I got off on that, but I did want to mention this about when you mentioned the energy and, you know, with Qigong studies, research hospitals in China, they really talk about that. And a lot of people, if they have a stroke and they can't physically do the Qigong, they just have them mm-hmm. visualize doing it. And just the visualization elicits change and response and healing. And so that same thing with that herb. Maybe you don't have the herb you need right there at your disposal, but maybe you can visualize the herb and get some medicine for that. I know it's worked for me.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Sometimes we put so many definitions and so many labels on our physical being that we find that if it doesn't qualify and quantify and validate in the way that it might in a textbook, we say then it doesn't work for me, or it doesn't help me, or it's not for me. When in essence, all of that other stuff, kind of, we got off track. You know, I think in the past several decades, we really got off the track of trying to, you know, overdose and cut out instead of finding our engagement in the dance of the universe. You know what I mean? And we're trying to slowly come back, because bringing back acupuncture, saying, oh, well, okay, then it's not so woo-woo, it's not so out there. We looked at meditation. Oh, well, kind of. We're going to maybe think about that, you know? And maybe think about that, really, how are we doing things in this life, and how is our life playing out? These are all concepts that have recently come up in the past two decades, where maybe the public has finally said, okay, well, we'll accept that as an alternative versus let's just put it in, cut it out, give it up, give it a drug. And we kind of walked around in a stupor. Don't you think we're kind of like coming out of that stupor now?
You know, I do think we're coming out of the stupor. And it's really interesting that, you know, it was either the 40s or the 50s. The language about us as Americans changed. We became, they changed our name from our title, basically, from being a citizen to a consumer. And it was a subtle change that I think indoctrinated mm-hmm. in so many ways, because, yeah. I mean, here was the leaders of our country who all of a sudden we weren't citizens with these like rights and these privileges. We were meant to just consume products that people were going to sell to us. And so I think that devaluation on a subtle level became really profound, especially when the entire world almost went capitalism, right, and went consumerism. We call it capitalism, but it's really consumerism. And I think that just trickled down into healthcare, because you do just buy something and it solves all your problems, because advertising has been telling you now for decades that that is your worst. And I think we now, probably because of the internet, right, we get to pick and choose more what we take in. We still take in way too much crap, but you know, we don't just have three news sources telling us information. So I think that alone has made us question authority or whatever. But also I think we are so desperate for happiness and connection that it is inevitable that we go back to a more natural state of being, because we have to. Because that's who we are. And we're not just blind consumers. And I think it took a couple decades to figure that out, but I think we're on a good path at this point.
You know, and I think also, too, if you look back at instances in your life, you truly were connected, or things were put there or laid into place to be able to show up at another time in your life. Let's use this as an example. I remember in the 50s lining our driveway in the Northeast were Lily of the Valley. I knew when they came up, they were beautiful little tiny white flowers that were, they were always underneath the big green protective leaf. You know, you always had to pick up the leaf to be able to see the flowers. And right in between, they grew right in the driveway between our house and the cemetery next door. So in some way, I had connected this, and it was about, you know, life and death and Lily of the Valley. And then I can remember kind of when I was in school studying it, and it didn't kind of resonate with me at all. Several years ago, I had some heart issues, and I'm thinking, why am I keep thinking of the Lily of the Valley? You know, I said, oh, it must be I just missed the smell, and I want to find some body cream with it. Could never find any. There goes another 10 years, and then all of a sudden I said, you know what? I'm going to buy the tincture, and I'm going to put it on the counter. It sat there for maybe a year, and I didn't touch it. All of a sudden, one day, guess what? I needed Lily of the Valley tincture for the next year. And I think the idea is I had grown a connection with the plant and the flower to be able to open up my awareness. And when the time was right, it would show up and be there. And I think that's truly how a great connection can play out if you look at it. Yes?
Absolutely. And I love that example because it's true. Like we think about it and it gets in our psyche, and then it's like, okay, well, I'll just buy it. And then at that moment, you'll be like, I'll take it. And that's what happens to me too. I get really excited about something, and then I, you know, will make it or I'll buy it.
Right.
And then I'll forget about it. And then, when I need it, I'm like, oh yeah, I made that reishi. You know, I've got that right here and I've had this, but it's just like, you know, it's like lying in wait in our subconscious until it's ready to take form.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. A lot of people are doing all these detox things, you know, and they're trying to change their inner being. But yet they might be the same person who's got the chemical guy coming to their grass to get rid of all the dandelions in their grass because they want it to be perfect. So if you really look at that, they're really looking for perfection of body. And they're going to have it reflect in their grass and perfection of their, you know, their outward appearance, when really the dandelion that you're trying to get rid of might be what could clean out whatever's inside of you, you know.
So right. The dandelion is the perfection.
Right. You almost look at that full circle. You're looking for perfection. You're looking for a cleanup. You're doing, and it's just, that circle is just so profound. If you just ask people and you say, what's up with this, or what are you thinking about that, and they'll say, but I'm not talking about that, you don't, you're not listening to me, and I'll say, yes, I am, let's just see how this plays out. And wow, it's so cool, don't you think, when something like that plays out?
It is, and I love it when someone's like, you know, I was really like, I don't know, I was feeling really depressed today and I wasn't sure what was happening. And then I went to the farmer's market and I saw this lavender plant, and like, I don't know what lavender is good for, but I just decided to take it home anyway. And it was like, yep, because that's exactly the plant that you needed right then. And you have no idea, but it's, you know, it's like, it's there. And we don't have to be able to understand it. I do like to pick things apart, and I like to read research, and I like to make connections. But really, for me at this point, I'm like, I don't care why. If I feel it and it feels good, that's all I need to know, you know?
And you know, Jessica, it was interesting. I had a big oak tree by a place that I had lived at, and I watched it as it started to age and split. And one day, I noticed that it just couldn't put out any more leaves. So it went like a whole year with no leaves on it. And one day the groundskeepers came out and they were cutting it down. I was thinking, oh, but that's a tree I watch and I talk to every day. And I was getting like so upset and everything, until one second I looked up and all of the sawdust was in the rays of the sun, and it was all sparkling like gold glitter. And it was just so cool. I said, oh, okay. It's only being transformed. It's not being cut down. You know what I mean? And I think if we think of nature as that transformation and that it too has a cycle, we can kind of engage in that. So like if there's something going on with us, we could say, okay, I might be having this illness right now, and it is a cycle. And how can I work through that and come out on the other side? And I think that's really a great way to be able to dance with nature, yes?
Absolutely. And I think that's part of what causes us so much like despair, right? And dis-ease is this, we forget that everything changes. And so we get stuck in these mental and physical cycles, and then it gets reiterated by the pharmaceutical industry that your condition doesn't change and you're on this drug forever. And so
right.
we have lost the ability to remember that we live because of evolution and transformation. And so mm-hmm. just because we are in this place today doesn't mean this is where we're going to be tomorrow, but we get in this, you know, and part of it is like the pain feedback loop in the brain, right? We have to rewire the system to break this cycle of non-transformation, right? Because things get stuck mm-hmm. and we don't change and evolve and transform. And that's why, and, you know, I think that's the cause of and the result of so much disorders that we see.
And also, to the idea about pain, let's say someone has a great deal of chronic pain and they decide to go out and start growing tomatoes or growing some flowers, or someone gives them a plant and they start caring for it. And then one day you go in and ask them how they're doing and you get the same story. A few weeks or a few months later, the story may have changed. A few weeks or a few months later, they may not even talk about their pain at all. And they'll say, oh, they must have just forgotten about it. Well, the truth is, it isn't their focus. If you place your focus somewhere else on something else, perhaps the energy that you're giving your pain, you can now let it dissipate and give maybe love, care, compassion to something else. It causes a flip in your energetic being. It causes a flip, you know, in how you are engaged in your own energy. And if you can do that, it truly makes some monumental changes in your health. You might still have pain, but it isn't your focus. Yes?
Absolutely. And that's my favorite thing about seeing clients is when, you know, I'll go back and look at their chart and be like, oh, yeah, how was that from 2 months ago? And they completely forgot they ever even said it or had it or whatever. And I'm like, yes. Then you have, you know, that is something that has been overcome if you don't even remember that that was the focus of why you came 2 months ago.
Right.
It's just that great thing of like, absolutely, as we shift our energetic, whether it's our mental energy or our physical energy, spiritual, whatever that energy is, as we shift that to something more productive, absolutely, we, you know, that's the beauty of being who we are, right? We get this ability to forget. And we don't have to hold on to all of these things, you know, be it pain or emotion or anything else.
And it's also, too, the energy. When we think about flower essences, we say the energy of the plant is going into the water. And truly, it's what you decide that energy of that plant will be. In other words, you talk about magnolias, and we have so many magnolias around me. It's just like they pulled up all of the other trees and they put these magnolias down. They are everywhere. And I did a flower essence one day with a magnolia flower. And I thought about it, and I said, I'm just going to say strength, courage, durability, because that's what a magnolia looks like. It really doesn't bend that much in the wind. Very thick leaves. It's very durable. And we also think about its softer side. Such a big white flower. It's so tender, and it only lasts for a few days when it comes out. So it's really what you decide to incorporate into that flower essence for your connection. Like you said, we don't always have to research and see what other things mean, what they're all about, and then try to take that in. We can just see the connection and make it for ourselves, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, whenever anyone asks what they should be doing if they want to get into herbalism, I'm like, mm-hmm. go sit with plants. I mean, I could tell you 20 herb books that are amazing and a bunch of online teachers that I like, and I think that's a natural progression. But if we're just starting, then I almost feel like the less information we start with, the better, because then we're going to be like, oh, I read that this is anti-inflammatory and it stops bleeding and it does this and it does that.
Right.
It's like, well, that's great, but there are a million other uses for this plant that we may not know because that's not what they chose to share with us. Or because
right.
the plant is now evolving, because we're, you know, even though evolution is slow, maybe there is a newer use for this plant that hasn't been known yet because it has been slowly evolving to have more of this compound or more of this, you know, therapeutic value. Or maybe just for you in that moment, the plant is going to do that for you because that is what you need. And I'm not saying everyone can then go out and be a practitioner because I don't think that, but I think then everyone can have a very deep connection with nature for their own health and well-being. And that's really the best health you can get. I mean, you could go and pay doctors all the money in the world to be healthy, but if you're not making that commitment to getting mm-hmm. to know yourself and your environment around you, you're only going to get so far.
Right, because then you're just looking at it as a silo existence again. It's sort of like someone said to me one day, I was, I don't know, I had bought an herb or something. I don't recall, but I distinctly remember their response. The response was, what is it going to do for you? And I said, I don't know. And they said, well, why are you taking it? I said, because I'm drawn to it. This is something that I wanted to do. And they're like, well, what does it do? And I couldn't give that answer because I don't recall what it was, but we'll use as an example, hawthorn, you know. Rose hips, we'll think of hawthorn berries. And when we think of a hawthorn solid extract, it's a tincture, and we say, what does it do? Nourishes your heart. It brings you centered down. It is nourishing to the body. And if we say, well, what does it do? Does it fix my toenail? Does it make my hair look better? And they just keep focusing on those end results versus the engagement. So I think sometimes when we think of what does it do, and I'll take it for that specific purpose, we really miss the whole point of the dance in the first place. And the whole point of the dance in the first place is to engage with all of it, its energy, its smell, its sense, its touch, what it does for you, how when you take it, you feel differently, how you feel differently on all levels. You know, your mental, your physical, your emotional, all of those other layers. It's not just about, I'm going to take it and it's going to bring down my blood pressure. I don't think so, right?
Right. I mean, and that just goes along with that whole, like, we're consumers, right? We just want to consume something and get an end result and it be mindless and I don't have to have a connection to it and I can go on to my next activity because because now I have to go do my 9-to-5 job or take my kids to school or whatever it is. So it's like, it's almost like we need to give ourselves permission to slow down enough to have a connection to what we're taking. Because, you know, it's like if you have a ritual every morning of, you know, maybe you sit in meditation for a few minutes, make a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and it's like becomes this ritual. It's almost like we have to give ourselves permission for that. And I think that's part of that piece is like first being allowing ourselves permission to even take 10 minutes out where we're not quote unquote busy or doing something for someone else, which is also, I think, a natural thing is that we fill our times with other people's needs and not so much our own. And that's more justifiable than taking time for our own needs. So, yeah, I think it's that permission piece before we can even, like, have that deeper connection to know we want to have a dance with a plant because we're not taught anymore. I mean,
Right. Traditionally,
yes, in all of our cultures we came from, it was inherent a connection to whatever land, water, plants, spirits around us, whatever continent that was, we all had that deep connection. And now, you know, some of us never lost it, and some of us are like having to physically and, you know, evolutionary, like remembering again, because in a very short period of time, it has been bred out of us, which is kind of crazy to me. It hasn't been that long that we've had this much disconnection to our natural environment. And I think it's showing that our psyches and our bodies can't handle it. It is not how we are wired.
I think also too, Jessica, what we're really talking about today is how we can move from an external environment and everything's outside of us and materialistic, and how we can turn around and bring in the internal, engage with an internal world for ourselves and also nature, you know, really being connected with that. It's something that, just as you said, you know, some of us remember, some of us have always had it as our normal existence. Others have no idea what it means. But really what we're talking about today in closing, Jessica, is really about saying, how am I in this world around me, rather than just getting up and going to do my external things? I'm going to school, I'm going to work, I'm going to take care of the kids, I'm going to clean the house, you know, all of that type stuff, versus I'm going to go outside and smell the flowers as I pass by them to get to my car to go to work. Or maybe if I'm sitting out, as we said before, you know, at lunchtime, sit in the cool breeze underneath a tree and just thank that tree for giving you shade today. And it's really how we become engaged. Then you end up going into work with that essence of a gratitude. You feel a little bit lighter. You're not so cranky when you might get there if you smelled some flowers along your path. Or at lunchtime, you know, if you've given gratitude, you're like, well, thank you. And it's sort of like you go in next for the afternoon. It's like, oh, okay, I let go of the morning. Now I'm on to something new for the afternoon. It's truly about looking at things that are so they're so available to us, and yes, they are that simple, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and I don't want to say it's that simple, because it's simple once you get there.
Yeah.
Or if you're already there. But it took me a long time to feel like it was simple, because, you know, I didn't grow up with a deep connection to nature around me. I really did have to cultivate that within myself. And so so I think, like, yes, it's simple, but it's, don't beat yourself up if you're not there, because it's not simple to get
right there.
It takes a lot of reprogramming. It truly is a deprogramming and a reprogramming of what we believe our existence here on this planet is. And that's not to be taken lightly. You know, that's huge.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, I have over 50,000 photos on my cell phone in just the past 3 years, and most of them, if not probably 90%, are of clouds, of the sun, of plants, of trees, of salamanders, of flowers, all of these little things. The smaller the flower, the bigger the picture. And I think I just tried to cultivate and keep it going that way for me, because I always was engaged in nature. And I think the idea of, if you've had it in the past, bring it forth. If you know nothing about it, just look around and see what's calling your attention, and be able to be open and aware. If you're not open and not aware, or if you say, I don't understand that, it's truly about just reaching out. And as you said in the beginning, grab a plant on your way home, set it on your table, and say, you know what? Wow, you must need water today. So you give it some water. Guess what? You just talked to the plant. So at least
exactly.
You're listening, right?
Right? You had an energetic exchange with the plant,
right.
And now,
yeah.
Now you can smell the leaf. And if it's an edible
right.
plant, eat the leaf. But, you know, like baby steps like that, just small
yeah.
little introductions.
Absolutely. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Absolutely. So I am, my website is bakerbotanica.com. On Facebook, I am Jessica Baker, LAC. And on Instagram, I am Baker_Botanica. And I do have a podcast, The Herb Walk with Jessica Baker, and it's also a blog. So you can listen and read about Chinese medicine, herbs, and aromatherapy.
Well, Jessica, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today, because as we've done today, we just kind of like danced with the flowers and nature and said, just take notice. That's it. That's the first step, right?
Absolutely. Just take notice. That's like your
yeah.
only assignment, right? Just
right.
take notice.
Take notice.
And then be happy about it. You know, give yourself props for taking notice, and don't downplay
yeah.
that, because it really is a big thing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Jessica Baker, her book is Plant Songs, Reflections on Herbal Medicine. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you'll go directly to her website. And it truly is about being able to engage and be aware, be open. And yes, every little tiny thing that comes up, they'll slowly begin to build. And one day you'll say, you know what? I am so in tune. This is really cool. And I'm going to keep this going. So really, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.